It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Renee, Andy, and Alex are here. I brought my new i9 MacBook Pro and my eGPU. We're going to see what we can do to make this thing overheat. And Apple has a new release, an update, that seems to have made a big difference. It's all coming up next. Throttlegate. Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 620, recorded Tuesday, July 24th, 2018. How hot is my Mac? Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Slide Belts, high-quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. If you want a better belt, go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code TWIT for 20% off. And by Wink, the best way to discover new wines you will love. Go to trywink.com/MacBreak and get $20 off your first shipment. And by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month, and you'll get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest news from Apple with some of the best people in the Apple field. Outstanding in his field of apples right now, Mr. Rene Ritchie. Limeware.com, who's been up all night.
I feel like a Braeburn, maybe a Royal Gala today. I'm not sure.
But yeah, I think you're delicious myself.
Oh,
or a Honeycrisp.
Not a Granny Smith, at least.
No. You were up all night following Throttlegate. What do we call it? Thermalgate? Throttlegate?
Throttlegate is fine. I mean, now can we call it digital key? I don't know. We'll find
all right.
It.
I actually have some probably surprising to people who listen to this show views about all of this, but we'll talk about it in a moment. Andy Inako is also here. Chicago Sun-Times.
Former, this is the veteran
Chicago Sun-Times reporter. You know, I was thinking about it because I was talking about Studs Terkel the other day, and yep. I know you knew Studs, and I'm very jealous of all of that.
Yep.
Studs and Ebert, you knew them both.
I wish another reason to wish both of them were alive today, because their essays on what's going on right now would be epic.
And what Tronc just did to the New York Daily News.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Also here from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, for a few more minutes till we move into Moscow, Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Corps. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Actually,
I can hear you from D.C.
Yes. I'm thinking we make our nation's capital St. Petersburg to distinguish it from Moscow. And well, it's a beautiful city.
It's been really convenient because one of our offices now used to be Russia One. So the whole thing is all coming together.
It's perfect.
They take over our capital. We take over their lobby, you know, their office. It's good.
Perfect. So I'm sitting in front of something I actually love quite a bit. This is the new MacBook Pro. Yes, with the i9. Yes, with the 560. Yes, with 32 gigs of RAM. And it's everything I wanted. Yes, it even has a touch bar and a butterfly keyboard. But I'm very, very happy. You might also notice there's a bit of help on the side here. The Blackmagic Thermal Tower of Doom.
It does look very Empire, doesn't it?
The eGPU with the 580 in it, Radeon 580. But I, you know, and I've been banging on this quite a bit. We talked about a lot on Saturday on the new Screensavers with Patrick Norton. I was, you know, I'm going to give you an analogy, Renee. You tell me if this makes sense to you. And by the way, there's very, very big news already on this Throttlegate front. I kind of dispute the whole notion of Throttlegate. I think of this as like my Tesla. So my Tesla, I love it because it's got amazing pickup. Torque, 100% torque at 0 miles an hour. It can beat a Lamborghini in 0 to 60. It's an amazing car, but you wouldn't want to do an Indy 500 with it, because It can't keep up a sustained speed for more than 5 or 10 minutes at over 120 miles, 103 miles an hour, because the electric motors heat up and then it actually gates it. It throttles it down to a slower speed. But for my purposes, the pickup, the speed, everything it does in my normal day-to-day driving, I don't actually have an occasion to drive 120 miles an hour very often. It's great. And I certainly don't do it for more than 10 minutes. It's great. If maybe if I lived in Germany and I were on the Autobahn, I would say, well, I'm going to get a Mercedes instead. But for me, it's great. I feel like that's kind of what I'm experiencing with the MacBook Pro. I've been throwing a lot of the kinds of things I do at it because, for instance, one of the reasons I wanted is Lightroom is such a pig. I wanted to be able to review raw images without waiting. What people suggest is, well, what you do is you put your raw images on the computer. You let Lightroom create previews. Go have dinner while it's doing that when you come back. But I don't want to do that. I want to put and review the images now.
You had dinner already.
I already had dinner, and this is fine for that. My compilation when I do a lot of coding, it's so fast. It runs so quick. The programs run quicker. I did a full build of Emacs from zero in about 9 minutes on this. It took 12 minutes on my 2015. That's about what I'd expect from the different clock speeds. But in those cases I just described, I never go below the rated 2.9 gigahertz. And most of the time I'm at 3.5 to 4 gigahertz. Yeah. It's throttled up. Speed step works. I also get, and I was really worried about this, superior battery life because when I'm not doing tough stuff, when I'm just looking at email or the web, it goes down to 1 gigahertz or lower. And I never paid attention to this before, but now because of Throttlegate, I got the Intel widget and I'm looking at all this stuff. I'm getting around 13 hours of battery life until I do something that's really thermal. I do notice that it will not let the processor get above 100 degrees Celsius. That is like the absolute limit. The minute whatever I'm doing, whether it's handbrake encoding or motion, the minute I do that, it does throttle down. It throttles well below 2.9 gigahertz. One of the things I want to do, and maybe we'll do it before the end of the show, is put Logic on here and see if I can do a giant Logic Pro mix with 100 voices, because that's something a lot of people want to do.
It's also worth pointing out that Intel will not disclose them, but all the AVC, all the AVX2 frequencies are well below the baseline frequencies. They won't tell anybody what they are, but if it's hitting vector, it is normally going to be below baseline frequencies.
So for me and my uses, I like this. And by the way, just to touch on the butterfly key, whatever they did, those silicon domes, I haven't got any breadcrumbs in there yet, so I can't vouch for its reliability. But it's funny because I hated the other one. And Andy, I know you hated it too. I would like you to try these. It's just enough softening when it hits bottom that actually I can live with this. It's not, I like this. I don't love it, but this keyboard's usable, usable.
I've tried about 2 hours. I've got about 2 hours logged in on the new keyboard. It's better, but it doesn't, I still don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that.
It's still a deal breaker for me.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Yep. So let us, by the way, one of the reasons I can't show you the screens is because just this morning, Apple pushed out a firmware update for the MacBook Pros that supposedly addresses, and I know Dave Lee, who was the guy who initially talked about throttling on his YouTube channel, is happy about this patch. It fixes some stuff. Tell us what this patch does, Renee.
So what happened was Apple reached out to Dave once they saw his video because they could not reproduce the situation he was getting. And it sounds like it took a little while before he could reproduce it as well. But they worked together over the weekend. I'm sure nobody got a lot of sleep there. And they managed to figure out what was causing it. And it was a missing digital key. And now there's a lot of debate over what that is because a lot of the stuff is not well documented. And I think, because Intel is super proprietary and Apple is super proprietary, and there's not a lot of information on this stuff. But people are guessing that it was basically either an erroneous or missing registry entry that was not often being hit because none of Apple's benchmarks hit it. None of the pros that Apple had it there for us to talk to, people in the music industry, the video industry, none of them were being affected by it. But it was this mixed workload of red raw footage and Adobe Premiere that was basically bringing the computer to its knees.
Oh, interesting.
And so this patch... Yeah, so this patch fixes that missing digital key.
It doesn't,
and according to Dave,
fix everything. It just fixes that.
It makes
one
everything
thing
better. This might have been causing some slowdown on a lot of workloads, but not huge amounts. But on a specific workload Dave had, it was causing cataclysmic slowdown.
So, What about my Tesla analogy? Is that a reasonable analogy? Look, most people shouldn't buy an i9 because it is six cores. It is a lot hotter. We were able to get, when I was compressing handbrake and the processor was 100 degrees Celsius, I was able to get the keyboard to about 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Oh, really, almost too hot to touch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very true. So, I mean, Moore's Law or House's Law, whatever you want to call it, the idea that we're going to get double performance every 18 months is dead and dying.
Yeah.
And Intel's had 2 years to, Cannon Lake was supposed to come out on their 10 nanometer process 2 years ago, and they still haven't gotten it out. So what they're doing is reverting to adding cores to increase performance because they're still expected to get year over year performance. And so Apple is basically treating these like they treat mobile processors. And that is, we still want the fastest single core performance we can get. But that means when you start hitting these massive multi-core loads, we have to throttle it down because it's going to be too hot. It's going to melt the machine. And that analogy is spot on. You could also look at it like people were complaining, I have a Lamborghini and it's on a highway in traffic and I can't let it loose. The reality is we've moved to the cities now. But the thing is, instead of four Lamborghinis, you now have six Lamborghinis. So you can move four more people at the same time, even in traffic. And that's sort of how you have to look at multi-core workloads now.
And I will grant that this is not the right computer for a lot of people. I mean, I'm comparing it to I have an 10-core iMac Pro at home. And if I have the luxury of using that for most of this stuff, certainly for handbrake or rendering 360 videos, I will use that.
Yeah, that's their alternative. Like, if you really want a 17-inch computer with F22 Raptor-sized vents on it that weighs 10 pounds, Apple doesn't make that. They want to make one chassis they can sell to millions of people. So they will gladly show you an iMac or an iMac Pro for those kinds of thermal needs.
I should also point out, according to the disk speed test, we're getting reads and writes around 2,600 megabytes per second.
It's ludicrous.
Which is very fast, but the MacBook Pro, remember, was even faster. I mean, the iMac Pro was even faster. So
this should equal, all other things being the same, I think this should equal, I believe they're using the same storage controller and the same striped two-disc format.
As you can see on the Blackmagic speed test, it's fine for, 4K video at 60 frames reading. Yeah. And I mean, it's got green checks everywhere, but it is not as fast as the iMac Pro. Now, I don't know why not, and maybe there's some other issue going on there. Cinebench score on this, and that was what a lot of people were complaining about was Cinebench, because... if you run and I know Cinebench isn't exactly a synthetic, but it isn't exactly not synthetic.
The biggest problem is that Cinebench put out a statement saying they were not optimized for the i9 and that people shouldn't use it.
But there you go. So people keep using it. I was in OpenGL. I was actually very surprised, able to get 100 frames a second. But the CPU was down below 900. I think it was 853.
Intel also took their power gadget down over the weekend and put up an incremented version, and that's basically, I think, maintained by one engineer. They don't update it very often.
I have the new power gadget. I'll show you screenshots though. This is the kind of thing I do, and it is faster. This is the kind of thing I. They want to see the monitor. Hold on a second. They're not seeing the monitors. Hold on. I want to be able to give you a screen out. So, but what about my contention that it is kind of like the Tesla in that respect?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's if you're spending $6,000 on it, it's absolutely a very special. I guess Alex would probably have the best analogy, but it's a very specific set of skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that is, I feel like Apple misses the mark on the Pro side because they are trying to fit it into this tiny form factor, which we don't care about.
Yeah, and we do know, by the way, from iFixit that they did not modify the fans or any of the cooling subsystems. This is the same as last year's MacBook Pro.
Right, and I feel like if you're going to keep on making them and calling them Pro, your primary audience. I mean, there are a lot of people. You see a lot of people that work in information companies that they want the Pro version so that they can have the Pro version. I don't know what they're using it for, I think the folks that are designing these are not pushing them very hard. They're not really those professionals that need it. And so I think it's unfortunate that we do have to consider going to a PC to get the real performance out of it. That's kind of as a Mac user, I mean, we'll put up with it. So I guess Apple's got it. But I think that you are looking at a significant slowdown of, purchases. I don't feel hugely like I need to keep on upgrading, and so, until my computer actually stops working, I probably, will be slow to upgrade. you know, I don't think that, you know, it's not enough, you know, to make it to make it worth it, in my opinion. So, you know, I still have I've a relatively good iMac. I haven't gotten the iMac Pro yet. I'm a little behind those curves. I just haven't needed it. But I think that Apple isn't really building. We'll see what happens with the new Mac Pro that comes out. I do think the iMac Pro is great. We just haven't had a. Usually we buy stuff against projects.
I think if you're a if you're a developer, you'll be happy with this. I think if you're a photographer, I think if you're doing transcoding video, you will not be happy about with this. Even with the patch.
And I guess if you're a photographer, I don't know if you'd be that you were that hard off before. I think that's the problem.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, right. So that's the other question.
You know, so
is, compare
great.
This
it's,
to an a current i7 or last year's i7, and you probably
Are you really going to notice? I mean, you know, like the hard part is that as this slows down, this is the problem that the PC industry's had for a long time, which is that everything, you know, Excel runs as fast as it needs to, you know, and other things. So I think that the challenge really is a lot of these apps aren't really, you don't notice it that much from time to time. A lot of people that have been pushing these computers gave up on Apple a while ago. And so the ones that are really pushing it and really need the performance, a lot of them have been dropping off and using PCs or Linux to get the performance that they need. And so there's less pressure on Apple, I think, to do that. But they're still kind of the creative professional that they're going after. And I'm not sure that what they put out makes enough of a difference to, I mean, you know,
it does for me because there's pent up demand. I was on a 2015 and it is definitely, it's 30%, 25% faster than the 2015 i7. So I'm happy, you know, it's a reasonable upgrade. It's a, you know, my 3-year upgrade. My question was if I could live with the butterfly keys and I can. So that's good.
I think, well, that's been my problem until I really feel like my 2015 hurts. And admittedly, when I'm doing harder work, I'm using either a Mac Pro or I'm using an iMac, and you know, the that's pretty souped up. And so when I'm really doing heavy work, I'm, you know, using a PC.
And there's still lots of gaps. So, I know you're waiting for a Mac Mini. I know a lot of people are waiting for a upgraded MacBook or MacBook Air. Greg Farrell had an interesting theory on Sunday that maybe the real MacBook Air MacBook upgrade will be to go to an Apple A12 chip or something like that.
Well, and I don't know why they'd build an Air. I mean, I think that really there is the Mac. I think that there's just the MacBook Pros, and then I think there's the 13-inch iPad. I'm not sure if it, you know, I don't know why Apple differentiates it that much. I'm not sure if they will.
I'm not sure they will either. We've talked about that. So, Renee, what is the issue? Somebody also posted, oh, no, the real issue is power.
Oh, God. There were so many theories.
There were a lot of theories.
Yeah. And there's a couple of problems here, and they're quick to point out. Like, I did a podcast with Ian from Enantech yesterday because I just wanted him to explain the i9 to me because I felt like that was a good starting point. And Enantech does terrific work on all this stuff, but not everybody is a Nantech. And what you get is a bunch of people who just like download a benchmark tool, run it, and mistake that for data. And it really isn't. So you have a bunch of people with very little insight into what's going on because these processors now are so complicated and it's really hard to tell what's hitting CPU, what's hitting GPU. Like, for example, if you're doing transcoding, it might be hitting an accelerator and not hitting the CPU or the GPU. Or like we said before, it might be hitting vector and that's got a slower frequency than even baseline frequencies. And what is, you know, is the tool optimized for what you're measuring? Because all these people were doing Cinebench and Cinebench itself said, hey, you know, don't do that. And it creates a lot of noise, and there were some people like
partly it's YouTubers. There's many YouTubers and too few non-techs in the world.
Well, I mean, they're not a model. So yeah, there's so that's true, but there's also like a bunch of bad blog posts, a bunch of really bad Reddit threads, and there's like Jonathan Morrison, I thought, did really good tests on his channel, but not everybody does that sort of thing. And there was a bunch of blog posts that were just as sensational as possible. You know, Apple is deliberately doing this, and anything you can imagine. But when you're dealing with something like this, it does take a little bit of time to gather quite a bit of data and then come to an educated opinion about it. And I think, again, I think a non-tech is usually the best at doing that.
Yeah, I've been waiting till they have something to say. I'll listen to Vector because I'm curious what they had to say.
Ian is super smart. And Ryan Smith, who's doing the review of the MacBook Pro, super smart. And there's just so many things that are going on with an i9. Like, again, Intel said it was going to be the same power, but turns out it's not exactly the same power footprint. And
Do you think Apple kind of got screwed by Intel? That Apple was expecting a 10 nanometer part by now, and they just released this app because of pressure from pros that what they really would have liked to have done is wait another year?
I don't know if they would have liked to wait. I think Apple has been screwed by Intel so many times over
they
the years. I don't
think
expected. Like, you know, Intel's gotten much worse. It used to be like months. Like they would be all ready for their big announcement, and then it's going to take another month, and that just blows Apple's release schedule, and they wait for the next event. But now it's like years. Like it is literally 2 years behind its roadmap, and they're experimenting. I think Ian said five different types of process to get to 10 nanometer, and they're taking their time, thinking they'll be the best when they get there. But meanwhile, everyone else is moving on, and they gave Apple a 6-core chip that's supposed to run in the same envelope as a 4-core chip, and that's all. That's what they're doing to provide performance increases, and Apple is expected to provide year over year performance increases. And it's probably be terrible for them if they didn't release new MacBook Pros this year, because the MacBook Pro audience is already super angry.
There is one thing I noticed, by the way, on this MacBook Pro. The sound is a lot better than the old MacBook.
The speakers
Pro.
Are better.
They took more space for the speakers.
They have that new audio team too, and that super enormous production lab, and that team is doing really good work.
I also was a little worried with the i9 that I would have terrible battery life, and of course you would if you're doing I was doing triangulation, and I had kept Lightroom running in the background, making 1-to-1 previews on thousands of photos, and I only got an hour battery life, even though it didn't throttle. By the way, it was up at almost to 4 gigahertz. You know, it was pretty consistent performance, but it was killing the battery. On the other hand, last couple of days, I've just been having the normal browser and, you know, the simple stuff that I normally do, and I'm getting really good battery life, actually. So it strikes me that there is some power, really good power management going on with this i9 chip.
It's super aggressive, and they've got a bigger battery. And again, I think Apple is looking at it the way they look at an iPad now. Like Apple doesn't even call them laptops anymore. They call them portables. And it really is a continuum for them. And right now, these make sense with a clamshell and Intel processors. But I think to Alex's point, this is going to be a spectrum of mobile devices, and all of them are going to be as fast as possible for single thread burst, and then as aggressively managed as possible for multi-core workloads.
Yeah. So what's your recommendation? Who should get an i9? Who should get an i7? Who should get a Windows machine?
If time is more precious to you than money, like there are people that I've talked to them, like they don't. If you render two videos a week, you're not going to get any benefit from the i9. If you render two videos every 15 minutes, it is literally going to be life altering to you to save 2 or 3 minutes out of every one of those while you're on client calls, while you're doing iterations, all those things. And I think those people are already buying. They're just like the take my money people, because they literally have way more money than they have time. But for everyone else, I mean, i7, even a 13-inch.
If time is short, what you want to do is 4K red video rendering, maybe this isn't the right choice either for you, right? I mean
the Despacito guys were using it and loving it, because they could get that video off to the artist in 2 minutes. He'd get back to them, and they would do the next video while he was talking to them. And their biggest bottleneck was getting the guy on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would still wait a month or two. I mean, I think that anytime a new product comes out, but especially when Apple puts out, I find that there's oftentimes just a little bit of like they're not quite done when it comes out.
Yeah.
And so I'm a big fan of, if you're going to spend that kind of money, I of course will get an i9. But I'll wait for 2 or 3 months to make sure that they kind of settle into it, and make sure that little bits and bobs are sorted out. You know, I think that's probably
so. I have the. I think I'm going to return this one. This is the four. Is it the 2 or the 4 terabyte drive? This is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I'm
returning that one.
I was so enticed by that because I didn't want to ever have to do an external drive again. But my review unit is 2 terabytes, and it's been fine. And I think I'm ultimately, because I have a review unit now, but I always buy my own, I'm going to get the 2 terabyte 13-inch, I think, because I think that'll be enough. And just having the 2 terabytes will be enough. And the portability to me is still more important than the... I have the iMac Pro for big workloads, so
I actually try to get us. I probably won't get larger than a 1 terabyte, or I want something small, because I like to force myself to take things off my drive. You know, I don't. You know, the putting all of that on there beyond the convenience of it is, you know, dangerous. And it also means, you know, I try to keep most of the stuff that I really care about outside of my internal drive. Mostly so that if I decide, I'm going to walk out and use this as a coffee shop, or I'm going to take it out and put it in the back of my car while I'm in a meeting. I want to know that I can just leave my hard drive at home, you know, back in the, you know,
it's just so
at home
thirsty,
or
Alex.
Wherever.
Yeah.
Final Cut is so
and
thirsty.
Also, And also, I think that this is another instance where I want to see what happens to the first generation of people who are using that RAID-based 4 terabytes before I would use that for mission-critical stuff.
Yeah, I would agree.
And also, I guess one of the questions a lot of people were asking is, why get an i9? Why not get an i7 or even an i5? If the i9 is going to throttle and be i5 speed, the i9 is the only difference between the i9 and the i7 is that it's a couple of 100 megahertz faster, right?
The guy did say that if you put it in the freezer, it was pretty fast.
Yeah, that's the article. So what did you say, Renee? I'm sorry.
It really is workload dependent. If you want the single thread boost, then you're going to want the faster single core speed. Because you're not going to be hitting all those cores, and the cores are kind of, you would have put up with them to get an i9, but it's the i9 single thread turbo that you want.
Okay.
It's a tough decision to make. I would probably still try to figure out how to maybe create more airflow, myself, or do something that actually cools it down. If I really wanted to use it as a renderer, the problem is that the CPU is really, really used when you're doing stuff that's over a period of time. So the problem with the throttling is when I pound it it's going to be pounded for a prolonged period of time. So if it starts getting caught up in this, it becomes problematic. It's rendering, it's compressing. It's doing all these things because when you need to do it as a fast twitch response, you have a GPU to lean on to do the things that you need in very short bursts. And the GPU, we already know, isn't very good. so it's unless you use the external one.
Well, let's ask about that now. So I bought this more for show than because I'm not carrying this around with me.
You put two of them on your back, you're like Rocket Man.
Partly I'm using it as a dock because it has, it's got 4 USB type A slots in the back. It's got 2 type Cs, one of which is connected to the MacBook. It's only 80 watts of power. I wish it was a little bit more power. That's one thing I noticed, by the way, is if you are really working the processor on this, even at the charger that comes with the MacBook Pro isn't enough to keep it charging. You might want to find a 100-watt charger somewhere. But is this worth $700? It's not upgradable. It is silent, and I'll vouch for that. And it's kind of a beautiful thing to have on your desktop. If you didn't want to buy an iMac Pro, but you were going to use this for heavy-duty stuff, does the eGPU make a difference?
That's the only reason they made it, was because they wanted a fanless option and nobody else was making one.
Right.
Because there's a certain people who just want to connect a Vive headset, have no noise on their desk, and go about their business. And they were not being served.
Right.
But everyone else is being served way better by the modular GPU, eGPUs out there.
They're cheaper. Of course, you have to buy a card, which may end up costing a lot more.
So you can get any card you want.
But you can get any card. Well, you don't want to get an NVIDIA card. That's going to be a pain in the butt to get working.
If you're a complete hobbyist nerd who wants nothing more than to hack an NVIDIA card into your Mac, knock yourself out.
Right.
Otherwise, put it in an AMD.
The 580 is not the top of the line by any means, Radeon, but it does add a little oomph to this, I guess.
It really is for developers who just didn't want noise. Because Apple's biggest pro segment now is developers by far. And some of them just don't want – they're fussy. They want their coffee the way they want it. They want their bubbly water the way they want it. And they don't want any fan noise ever. And this device lets them do everything they want to do without having and keeping their aesthetic nice.
Ironically, the fan noise on the MacBook Pro is pretty noisy and whiny.
Yeah, when it ramps up.
If it's getting that – if you're getting up to 100 degrees, you're going to hear it big time.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested getting the fan control app. That seems stupid. I got it, and it's like, just let Apple control the fans.
Yeah, that's bad.
I don't know any reason to do that.
There's nothing more quiet than a broken computer.
Yeah, that's really quiet.
No startup noises, no nothing.
I'm pretty happy, to be honest with you. So I want to download a large Logic Pro. I think one thing I haven't tested is... And one of the things they mentioned, you mentioned Despacito using all those tracks that it was able to compile. I want to download a large Logic Pro project. So where can I get one of those, I wonder?
The guy, I'm forgetting his last name now, but he does Ariana Grande and a bunch of the real famous top 40 people. And he said that on the previous one, he'd hit the limits of Logic Pro about 15 to 20% of the time, and he hasn't hit them at all on a new one yet.
Here's a Bollywood remix of Despacito. Let me download that. Or maybe, can I download it? If I can download it, I'll run it here. Yeah, Splice. Oh, I have to join Splice to get it. Never mind. Because I want to get something really big. Somebody in the chat room, find me a giant Logic Pro project.
And Bohemian Rhapsody.
That would be fun. Something with a lot of tracks, like 100 tracks. Something complicated.
This is America.
This is America. Yes. Bring me Danny Glover. I mean, what's his name, Glover?
Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino. I want child. You know, didn't Nine Inch Nails, didn't Trent publish a bunch of, I think they were garage bands.
I'm just looking at it right now, actually, while you were talking.
Yeah.
so it's on 9remixes.com/multitracks.
Okay.
.php. But if you just search Nine Inch Nails multitrack, or I was doing it under, I did Nine Inch Nails. I was wondering whether they'd put them out in Logic.
Yeah, I think it's GarageBand, but I can just import it, I imagine. I don't know. I'm no expert on this stuff.
It's a zip. Yeah, you should be able to just import Logic.
Where does the eGPU help? Is it only in, what you said, developers, but most compilers don't use eGPUs.
Mostly for like VR, if someone's doing like the kind of build environments, or you're using Final Cut Pro and you want to do 360 video.
How do you use an Oculus or a Vive with this?
I think it supports Oculus, but you just plug Vive right in. It just goes right into the HDMI port, and then you plug into the other ports.
So I could use the Vive with this?
Yeah, and you could go into Final Cut Pro and do 360 video, all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
I think that the adapter box for the Vive, which I have, is I believe that it wasn't that much less expensive than the Blackmagic. So it's kind of like you could just have you do need something that's kind of in between anyway. And so being able to just connect the Vive to that box instead of the utility box that was out there before, I think would make sense.
Nice. Okay.
You can play Rec Room. Dominate Leo.
Actually, I might keep this just for the Vive. That would be kind of cool. Yeah.
No, see, people who are not watching this on video, all throughout the past 5 minutes, he's been reaching out and touching it.
It's really
and,
nice.
Petting it and stroking
it. It's like the Mac Pro all over again, isn't it?
It is. It's very much like the trash can. It's kind of a matte finish instead of a shiny black finish. That's the 9-inch. I'm trying to download. Which is the GarageBand Ableton full length? I don't know. I don't know anything about this. What does full length mean? I want the tracks.
I think there's down near the bottom, there's a non-9-inch nail multi-tracks. Probably one of those would make sense.
Some of this would make sense. All right.
All I know is I'm still downloading. The download is not very fast. So I started How to Destroy Angels, A Drowning. That's just the very first one on the multi-tracks, the non-9-inch nails multi-track.
Okay. As you can see, for some reason, I don't know why, maybe because I've got Logic running in the background, the CPU has been hovering around 4 gigahertz or something. Maybe, I know what I'm doing, downloading all those samples. That's what I'm doing. So, but see, it just sits there. Sits there nice and happy.
I think that's on business.
87 degrees Celsius. Not the black line here on the Intel GPU power widget, CPU power widget, is the nominal 2.9 gigahertz. So it's well above that. I'm glad it's plugged in. I also, per recommendation of Apple Insider, I can't remember his name, who's on new screensavers, downloaded
Mike Worthley.
Yeah, Mike Worthley. I downloaded a set eGPU script because I gather that if you're going to use the eGPU, you have to run a script to tell programs to use it. Otherwise, they won't.
It should be supported at the OS level. Mike probably has looked into it way more than I have, but Apple's built it out so that you can plug it in, plug it out, and it should just look like it's more GPU, but it might be that some apps don't support it yet.
He said you won't see it. You have to run this. And apparently in Mojave it's going to be different. I don't know. All right, here's a new project. This doesn't have very many tracks. Choose an audio track type. I don't know. Create. I don't know. All right. Now let me then take all this stuff and drag it into Logic. See if it takes it. No, I won't take it. These are all FLAC files. I really want a Logic. I'm too stupid to do this. I'm just going to stop right now. I'm the wrong guy to do this.
Anything else one should consider?
There's one thing worth noting. I mean, it was a little bit controversial. There used to be a service port that you could use to pull data off the machine if it died. Yes. But now, because there's a T2 architecture, we have this debate often. There's fail safe versus fail secure. Previously, it would fail safe and you could pull data off of it. Now it fails secure.
I far prefer that because basically it's encrypted. And you could suck it off, but you wouldn't be able to look at it.
Yes.
That sounds dirty. That's correct. I didn't mean to say it that way. but it's so what does that behoove you to do? Back it up.
Yes.
Duh.
Absolutely.
So keep it backed up. The theory being that because of all this as a unit, if the logic board failed in the old days, you could still get the stuff off the SSD. Now if the logic board fails, you're out of luck. So back it up.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who don't.
No, but it is one of those design decisions, and
it's a good decision.
Go back and forth, and Apple goes back and forth on it. I'm always pro security, but I worry that I'm not being mainstream enough that way.
I think that's a good decision because my biggest concern is that somebody will get a laptop and have it in their possession, and then get the data off of it.
Yeah.
This way, I don't have to worry about it. File Vault's on by default in this because of the T2, so it's all encrypted. I don't have to worry about it. But then you make a backup. Anybody who's relying on the service port to save their bacon is really
it's the photos of their kids and they never heard what a backup is. I just feel bad.
Yeah. Well, I far prefer that this fail secure in this case. I really don't because there's stuff on this laptop I don't want people to get. You know, my great American novel and stuff. So like that.
Hi, Leo Kiss.
All right, let's take a break. I think what bothered me a little bit is it felt like piling on. And I felt like because of Dave Lee's video, everybody and their brother now had an opinion on Throttlegate. Maybe that's because I read all the Reddit, MacBook Pro Reddit threads.
I mean, there is this thing, and it's not just Apple. There's this thing where we believe that every company is filled with idiots. That, you know, like Intel has no idea what they're... And fair enough, Spectre and things like that, there are problems once in a while. But that Apple and Microsoft and Google and Intel and all these companies are filled with idiots. And if they just did what we think on the internet, it'd be great. And I had a friend who was so much like that and then went to work for Apple. And he's like, I learned on the internet how to fix all your problems. And they're like, here's the file. We tried it the first time and this is the problem it caused. Second, you know, like none of these things are as simple as we imagine them when they're not our responsibility.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lesson that's going to take a long time to learn.
Do you think Apple made the right choice?
You mean in terms of the thermal design?
I think
Apple makes a very specific product that's very in tune to their brand, and they want to make one version that scales to the millions. They could change the way they operate. They could become like Dell, but they would not be Apple anymore. And, you know, Apple has great characteristics and incredibly frustrating ones, but one of them is they make very, very few products. Those products are very, very similar. And this was... It's like, you know, nice, cheap. You have a good, cheap, or fast, and you can only pick two of them. They could have done a new design, but that's just not the way that Apple operates. So this was the best they could do with what they had.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andy, I think I cut you off.
No, I was just going to button by saying that once again, this is why early adopters, you really got to have a great reason to buy the first, not just the first version, but the first week. It's not until even if you just wait a month, you will at least find out what the little problems are going to be. I'm not even talking about defects. I'm talking about here are decisions that Apple made that might affect you, differences between this version and the version that you have right now. And if that's going to be a deal breaker, you'll at least go in spending $7,000 or even just $2,000 a lot smarter than you would have if you just said, ooh, new shiny thing, must buy. But I will also say, anytime you buy the first generation of anything from Apple, that is a good excuse to pop the extra money for AppleCare. Because there's probably going to be what we euphemistically call, let's say, edge cases. That the day after warranty, like a keyboard fails, or the day after warranty, there's a dead pixel or an illumination thing that Apple doesn't think is a warranty issue. It takes a while for every company to figure out exactly how to manufacture these things. And so that's when I would definitely buy the AppleCare.
So, and I would say I buy AppleCare every time. You know, like I don't ever not buy it. I don't buy any other care, but the Apple one, generally, they just, it's low stress. They stand behind it. You know, we've used it a lot. So we run our computers pretty hard. And so we've had a lot of experience. And We won't even get AppleCare from Amazon or from AT&T if we bought it from them or whatever. We'll only get AppleCare from Apple, because otherwise, you know, that when you buy it at an Apple store, they just connect it to your account immediately, and there's no other paperwork, and there's nothing else you forgot to do, and, you know, all the other stuff that happens that doesn't work. So we've gone down that path with AppleCare from third party vendors. So, but I would say I would always get it, because it's one of the few services like this that are worth it.
And this is going to be the answer to your problem, Alex. This is from Line. This is a magnetic MagSafe Type C adapter.
I know. I get every time I mention how much I hate the fact that it doesn't have a MagSafe. I get emails. I get tweets. I get Facebook connections of all the different options there are to put that in. The problem that I have is that my computer goes through a lot of bags and a lot of bits and pieces. And what really worries me is a nub sticking out, like a little piece sticking out of that C port. What I'm afraid of is it's going to get hit. You know, right, and it's going to get bent, you know, and so that's the concern that I have there's a bunch of companies make USB-C to MagSafe. And I liked it being flush. I kind of still want it to be flush, but I'll eventually have to give in. I know. So far, I've been able to hold out.
All right. Let us take a little break to talk about this. I'm standing up to show you my belt. See that? Ooh. It says Twit. And the cool thing about this belt, look at this. Actually, listen to this. Because when I cinch it up, you hear that? You hear the little clicks? Let me do that again. That is my slide belt.
That is awesome.
It's instead of having to punch holes in the leather, this belt adjusts virtually infinitely. I love these slide belts. Brand new sponsor on the show, slidebelts.com/twit. We're going to give you a good deal. Let me just show you some of the different things you could do with the slide belt. One of the fun things when the slide, here's the twit one. One of the things when the slide belt comes, it comes kind of one size fits all, because you get the leather, or they have leather, they have canvas, they have vegan leather, they have a lot of different colors and styles. Here is another twit buckle. Boy, I love that. And you insert, you just cut this to whatever size you want. They've got markings on the inside. You can, I don't know if you can see those on the camera, but you set it to the size you want. You just cut it off. And then on the other side is the ratchet. And then this is the key on the slide belt. So you're going to insert the slide belt leather into here, lock it down. That's what I did. And then I'll do the ratcheting from the other side so you can hear it happen here. When you put on your belt, you just put that in there and it ratchets closed to fit exactly what you want. To release it, you just lift the belt. This is such an awesome belt. I want you to visit slidebelts.com/twit. If you use the offer code TWIT, you'll get 20% off. I can't believe I never heard about these before. It really is a very cool thing. They made me realize how I stopped wearing belts, because I couldn't get a belt that fit just right. It was either too tight or too loose. Slide belt fits even, you know, it's great. After a nice barbecue or maybe a large meal somewhere, you just notch your two and it's right there. It fits perfectly. They don't have holes. They use this patented ratchet design that adjusts precisely to you. 32 adjustments. That makes it more comfortable no matter what your situation. And look at all the different kinds of straps, from full grain and top grain leathers to high quality canvas, animal friendly vegan. Josh loves that. They can be worn casually around the house, at the office, for date night. And if you're still not convinced, a 1-year warranty, free exchanges, and no hassle returns. But I'm going to show you one more thing that makes me love the slide belt. This is the slide belt survival buckle. Get ready. Get ready for adventure, kids. This buckle has everything. If I can get it out of here. It looks like a regular buckle, but inside the survival buckle, you can show it on the website. You're probably able to see it better. There's a knife. Andy, you'll like this. Look at this.
Wow. That's like Indiana Jones's belt.
This is so awesome. Look at this. You could show mine just so I could show you. The knife just slides out like that. Look at that. Ooh, and it's sharp, by the way. Be careful.
There's a quote, there's a knife. Andy, you'll like this.
Well, and it goes with all your other utility stuff, again, right?
Again,
right?
Like Alton Brown, unitaskers are a problem. It's nice to have.
Yeah. This is for lighting fires. Okay, it's got a tinder. It's got a little flashlight on the other end. A flashlight on your belt buckle. Now,
It's Batman's belt.
This is the best belt buckle ever. Church key, you bet. You know, you never know. You might have to open a beer or a pop.
Is this an Australian belt? It's got a knife and a beer opener.
Isn't it awesome? That's the Survival Belt 2.0. You choose, of course, the material. You cut it to size. You stick it in there. It really works, by the way. I know people probably look at me when I say this, but it really does a full grip. And if you know what? If you lose weight, this belt, you can adjust it. Cut off a little more leather. You'll feel good about yourself. The Survival Belt 2.0. Just one of many styles of slide belts. If you're ready for a better belt, I know I was. Look at that. You can open your Mexican cola with it. Now how much would you pay? Look at that flashlight on your belt.
Just this morning when I was getting dressed, I reflected on the fact that I own only one belt, and it's been the same belt for like 20 years.
Look at that. Start a fire.
This might have to be number two.
I'm sending you a slide belt right now, Andy. Don't buy one. I'll send you one, Andy. I will send you the one with the utility kit right on the belt buckle. You want one too? Awesome.
I think this might be the week.
You get a slide belt and you get a slide belt and you get a slide belt.
Awesome. Oprah gets a slide belt.
Isn't it awesome? Because when they said, okay, we're going to, because I'd never heard about it, and they sent us, and I said, oh, these are great. Well, yeah, we'll do an ad. They said, okay, we're sending you belts. I said, but you have to send me the utility belt, because that's the survival belt.
It's the stuff of dreams.
That's a whole new view on the old belt and suspenders level of being prepared.
Oh, man. Yeah. Slidebelts.com/trade. Oh, I've just been handed my pick of the week. Finally, thank you so much. Thank you. My pick of the week came. I'll show you that later.
Mystery.
It's not the eGPU. It's a slide belt. No. Slidebelts.com/twit for 20% off when you use the offer code TWIT. That is a very, very good deal. $30 off the survival belt. Survival 2.0. And you can get it engraved, so you can get anything on it. This would be, you know, I think for a wedding, for a groomsman's gift or whatever, wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah.
Honeymoon survival belt.
You don't have to say twit.
No, I think that'd be perfect for the wedding. Well,
I think everybody should have twit on their belts. If you want a better belt, go to slidebelts.com/twit and use the code twit for 20% off. I love my twit belt. All right.
So many show titles. So many show titles today.
Somebody said I should load the demo in Logic Pro 10. I don't.
And by the way, the very first one on that webpage I did download and open in Logic, but it's not very big. Those 9-inch nail ones are not
big ones.
They are, by the way, if you haven't, you know, this happened, what, 13
so cool.
years ago, I think.
Yeah.
It is a master's class in developing you should definitely search 9-inch Nails GarageBand, and you'll get to these 9-inch Nail multi-track record downloads. And there's a whole bunch of songs in there. And whether you like 9-inch Nails or not, I'm a huge fan, so it's easy for me. But just watching how a professional puts that all together. And I think that these were all bounced out of Pro Tools. I think they actually put them together in Pro Tools originally back in 2005. If you're trying to think about how do I put together a song, this is just a great way to break down what they're doing with each piece and how they bring it all in one piece at a time. And it's fantastic. So we haven't talked about it since it came out, I think, a long time ago.
Oh, it's so great.
It's so worth downloading and playing with in GarageBand, even. You know, the first one is in GarageBand format. You can open up in GarageBand and see that you could use GarageBand to make a song.
Well, what happened was my son did a bunch of beats on GarageBand when he was in high school. Loved it so much. Logic Pro isn't expensive. I ended up getting him Logic, and he just, he flipped his lid. He loved it.
That's terrific.
Yeah, yeah. Really,
I'm trying to decide when my kids went to one GarageBand class at an Apple store, and they came back and they were like playing this music. I'm like, oh, who's this? And Bella was like, me.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. It was, and it sounded completely like a track that you'd hear on the radio. And she threw it together in a class at the Apple store. You know, so it's by the way, those classes are pretty good too. because my kids, that's all they want to do when they're with their grandparents. I guess they live near an Apple store and they go often to the Apple store. I think it's something for grandma to give them to do. So they spend hours there.
Channel strip settings, EXS factory samples, plugins, sampler instruments, ultra beat samples. I know these are all, it looks like samples. I'm looking for the demo. Oh, well. Library application support Logic Pro demo songs. It's not there anymore, I guess. Oddly enough. Maybe it's under my name. Let me see if it's under my name.
I could send you one of my podcast editing files. Usually it has at least 92 tracks, 90 of which are completely unnecessary.
Russell's tracks unnecessary, Andy.
You don't use GarageBand for that? You should use GarageBand for that, right?
Yeah, I'm very good at taking a pro app that I don't actually need and then making things way too complicated.
That's my specialty.
Russell is the pride of Adelaide. He needs all those tracks.
That's why he had to go. we let him write his own press release and claim that his company was being bought out by public radio, but
really
now the truth can be told. Renee, please don't go work for Apple. Can I just say that while we're waiting?
Wait a minute, Serenity Caldwell went to work for Apple.
Yeah.
What is she doing?
She's on the internal comms team.
Good for her.
Yep.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I know.
Yes, for all
I know.
Of our losses.
Yeah.
They took Leanna, then they took Allie, then they took Guy English, then they took Serenity Caldwell.
Now I really want to be hired by Apple because that's the only way now to get my eyes on like Serenity produced content.
Is she going to move back to Cupertino?
She did. She moved like 2 weeks ago.
No more Boston. I don't think we have roller derby out here.
You have a couple of really good teams, she said. Oh. And I wouldn't be surprised if she created one right in South Bay.
Sure.
I'm sure there is one already, but it feels like a lot of those Apple – it wouldn't be surprised if Watch suddenly got a lot of roller derby workouts, I'm just going to say.
I'm just saying, Andy, you could pass the baton. I will take the roller derby pictures out here from now on.
No, you'll take the Serenity team's pictures. I'll continue to take shots of Providence roller derby. Another bout Saturday in Warwick, by the way. Anybody who's in the New England area, and we'll just document on. I'll be the East Coast. You'll be the West Coast.
Okay. Congratulations, Serenity. And actually, we had an employee stolen by Apple as well, didn't we? Nathan Olivares Giles was stolen away from us by Apple. They take all the
best.
They
went on us free. I know. They took a bunch of Macworld people, a bunch of Anantech people.
Anand is working there, right? But I don't see the problem is all these people go there and then they disappear from public view.
Yeah.
Where is Anand? What is he doing?
Well, I mean, what's his name? Steve, the head of Apple PR was, I think, from CNBC.
Right. He was.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least he has a public face. I think that a lot of people are working on unknown projects, future projects.
Yes.
If Serenity suddenly stops driving her car.
Or if we hear her from near Earth orbit.
But seriously, I'm not even joking when I say that Serenity working inside Apple is going to improve all Apple products because she's not working on like iMovie and the iPhone, but she will be the person saying, hey, I tried to, your motion tracking works okay when you're motion tracking a car that's driving at 35 miles an hour, but when you've got a jammer that's in the middle of a jammer block with 18 people in there, you need to make this better.
Wow.
Anyway, she'll be missed. Lori Gill, though, has stepped up, and she is now running the day-to-day stuff at IMOR, and she's terrific.
She is awesome. We love Lori, so I'm glad that your loss is Lori's win. That's fantastic.
We think she might have arranged this. She has a whole Game of Thrones motif going on. We're not quite sure of the details.
By the way, I was going to put this MagSafe adapter on, but I realized that it's going through the eGPU, and one tip on the eGPU – which you'll learn quickly. You have to you have to disconnect it manual. I mean, you can't just unplug it. You have to unmount it first. Do you know why that is?
I don't. I think someone made that whole comment about they did this whole survey about can you just pull out disks? And everyone's like, maybe, but never do that just in case.
Oh, it's interesting. Well, it closed a bunch of programs. Do I have to reboot? Oh, yeah, it's okay. In order to do this, you have to terminate, including us, apparently. Closed you, too. Everything has gone black. Holy cow. This was, I don't know what's, happening? What's happening?
But listen how quiet the fans are now.
So I guess because things are using the eGPU, in order to disconnect it, it really has to shut things down. Like it restarted the power gadget. It restarted logic. That makes sense.
Well, this was the fundamental issue that Apple had with NVIDIA, is that Apple wanted control over those drivers because so much of the operating system and so much of what they build is sitting on top of the GPU, and they wanted the control, and NVIDIA didn't want to give it to them.
Yeah.
And ATI saw the business opportunity and said, sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
And but I think that has been the fundamental thing. NVIDIA wants to get the highest performance out of the cards. Apple needs the most stability, and those two things don't necessarily line up directly with having the control that they need. But you can see right there, that's a good example of why Apple wants to have complete control over how that works.
Right.
And, I think in general, I unplug drives all the time. That doesn't bother me. But I will say that we're very careful when you have, if you still have a FireWire, connection, the FireWire is a little sensitive to being plugged and unplugged, and not so much the FireWire, but the SATA connectors. So what we did find is that about 10% of the time, if you take a SATA connector and just plug it right into a SATA drive while the FireWire is still plugged into the computer, about 10% of the time your FireWire port will never work again.
And I do remember Microsoft Surface Book, which had a dedicated GPU in the keyboard for a year and a half. If you just disconnected the tablet part from the keyboard, everything, it just was a nightmare. So it is non-trivial. So I did find there is a demo song. It's a Beck song. I don't know. Does this look like it has enough? Do you not see me? Do I need to? I wonder if there's some. How do you signal that the eGPU is plugged in? I don't know. Let me plug it in again. It's charged. It says not charging, but that means it's. Oh, I wonder. I wonder if this MagSafe thing broke it.
Oh, interesting. It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
Is it just power, or is it power and data?
Maybe it's not data. Let's
USB-C, as much as it is one thing, is so confusing.
So confusing. Let's just plug in directly. Now at least now I've lost all functionality. The mouse won't move. Nothing's happening.
Make a YouTube video.
It's moving so fast you can't keep up with it. You'll only distract it. You're only going to slow it down.
Oh, crud. Oh, crud. I shouldn't have done that, should I?
Oh, did you get in the pot?
I broke it. And I can't get this thing out. Oh, man.
There's just no vector for happiness in 2018.
Let me close everything by force quitting.
Even the strawberries are not nearly so sweet nor so ripe in 2018
Many of these apparently USB Type-C MagSafes do not transmit full power, says Scooter X. I don't even think it's full power. I think it didn't transmit a lot of things.
Like your desire for a working MacBook.
Yeah. Now it's all dead. I think I broke it. Oh, man. Oh, man.
But hey, if you're the first one for this to happen to, you get to decide what kind of gate it is.
It's eGPU gate. E-gate.
A lot of persnickety people on YouTube are waiting for your response so they can start making videos about it.
And Reddit. Don't forget Reddit. They got you.
I've been looking for something to talk about on Reddit. Now that Thanos has killed me.
I love that Thanos Reddit. That was awesome.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You know what, though? I didn't realize it had been banned, because the only way you still could operate in the subreddit, they couldn't really. It was some weird. So they only, because they sent you a message that said, you've been killed, now leave. So I didn't see it right away. But I know.
Josh Brolin was also a heck of a sport.
That was cute. He did the snap and everything. Wow. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I've damaged this somehow.
No, you can't damage it that way. Let's give good thoughts to Leo's.
No,
everyone concentrate all your psychic power.
You can't damage it that way.
As it melts blows up in your hand.
It's too bad there's a video of this. Leo, we saw you plug in the thing and unplug the thing and do the thing, and now it's broken.
You did the thing that we told you not to do when you have the thing plugged into the thing.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that Apple logo is the best thing in the world sometimes.
I don't know what was going on. It was thinking. Unlock with an Apple Watch. Yeah. Okay, let me just...
But it is a very close relationship between the GPU and everything else. And
yes.
So
don't do what I just did. Yes.
Especially with macOS and the whole
yes.
thing.
Don't do what I just did. Just leave it plugged in and make sure you undock safely before you leave. That is kind of a drawback that you have. That's the monitor coming back.
Yeah.
Because we're connected to a... Okay.
We're all connected.
Okay. Logic is reopening. Okay. Okay. Loading, loading, loading. All sorts of stuff is loading. Yeah, restore those pages. I want them back. I want my life back. You know, the Intel CPU gadget is still there.
It's in its own business.
It's running great. There we go. Now, should I... okay. eGPU is engaged, I believe. Yes, it is. Shall I play some music?
Let's do it.
All right. Yep. I can't control the sound. That's a good sign. Actually, what I want to do is reduce the size of this, though, so that I can see the eGPU going. I don't hear anything. Do you hear anything, Carson? Oh, my God. Turn it down, you kids. So, yeah, look at the throttle. Oh, no, that's voltage. Never mind. 4 gigahertz, 3.69 gigahertz. Temperature is actually cool, a cool 75 degrees Celsius. Why, it's balmy. It's like the surface of Mars. So I don't know how many tracks there are. There seems like quite a few here. This is the Beck demo that comes with Logic. Seems to be handling it quite well. What should I do to challenge
it? I think it's the effects, right? It's like the alchemy stuff, I think.
Add some effects. All right, that's beyond my scope. Seems to be working. Not throttling. Of course, I have the eGPU on. I don't know. Maybe I should run a movie while we're doing this. Let me run Handbrake. I can bring it to its knees. Watch. Actually, this would be a good test of whether Handbrake, whether the patch fixes. So now I'm going to start transcoding. Let's see. I need to get a encode pending. So what do we want to encode it as? Fast. Let's not do fast. Let's do it. Let's encode it for super high quality. Why not? In surround sound. The Magic Christian, ladies and gentlemen. Now how much would you pay? Look at that temperature at 100 degrees instantly. And the processor. Now at nominal. Oh, it stopped at 3 gigahertz. Oh, it's coming back. I'm doing Logic and transcoding the Magic Christian at extreme quality. Maybe the patch did make a difference. Look at that.
That's awesome.
Look at that. This on Saturday, we were able to bring the processor to its knees, even just transcoding. Now, I presume it's using the eGPU, right? Is there any way to know that?
I mean, you could unplug it and run it and see what it looks like.
Unplug it. No way. You saw what happened
again,
last time.
Never again. Eject it. Sorry, I meant eject it.
Yeah. It's now at nominal 2.9 gigahertz. It's right on the line there. It's not going below it, which is interesting. And actually, it's not too hot to touch. It's hot. Okay. So there you go. You hear it playing the Logic without faltering. You hear it you see it transcoding. That's good enough for me, right?
Yep.
No, Andy?
No, I was grunting in affirmation and also acknowledging that when you get to performance of this kind, it doesn't raise all boats in the harbor at the same time.
Right.
It really depends on what you're doing, and mostly the explanation for all of, for these highest end pro machines is if you can figure out how much money you lost by having to wait 10 minutes for something to happen, it's usually worth your investigating the newest, hottest hardware. If not, then it's nice. The problem is that the performance delta between like the entry level MacBook and the highest level MacBook has never been bigger than it has in the past 2 or 3 years. So like I would always buy kind of like the best MacBook I could afford because it's still kind of affordable. But now if you're expecting to spend a multiple of performance correlation with the multiple of money you're spending on a MacBook, you might want to back off and do some more thinking.
Right. Let me, somebody reminded me that the iStat menu will show the GPU. Let me restart all of this. Overwrite that. Start playing the music. And then let's look at iStat menu. Okay, let's move this over. Is the eGPU going here? 560 and 580 both seem to be in use. The 580 is the external GPU. Look at that peg right over there. Does it use both the eGPU? It uses the internal and the external? Or is it just kind of...
So it makes like a pool, right? It
gives you both. Interesting.
I think so, yeah.
Ah, interesting. So I am pegging the CPU, as you can see. So all four or all six processors are maxed, as one would expect, and the eGPU is not maxed, but it's engaged. What do you think? And the music's playing. That all seems about right. This is interesting because it's done something. This must be the patch. They've done something so it doesn't go below 2.9.
Yeah, looks like.
Yep. Look how flat that is. But doesn't that mean thermals would be a problem or what? Maybe this is the voltage solution.
How hot is it getting for you? Yeah, it's still staying underneath 100.
Yeah, it's 97. Again, it's flat as well. I don't think the fans are any... I mean, they're all the way up, I'm sure. It's warm. It's not unbearable. You feel the bottom. Yeah, you wouldn't want this in your lap. Unless it's a cold day.
Unless you're Canadian.
That's going to be a major cat attractor. Maybe that's what's causing the keyboards to fail. They're overheating. They're attracting cats. Cats sit on them. The fur screws up the keyboard.
It gets too hot for the cat. The cat gets off. It cools down. The cat comes back.
All right. We want to thank Beck for allowing us to use your music to test the eGPU. Now, I can do all this without the eGPU, but you saw what happened last time, so I'm not going to.
Yes.
There's only so far I'll go with all
I really wish, by the way, that Apple would use its a little bit of its cash to pay artists to do that more often, you know, to release their songs.
Yeah.
Multi-track. I think that could be part of a release process. You know, we're going to release the Drake album and one of the songs, it doesn't have to be with the single that they're planning, but one of the songs on the album is actually going to be completely broken out. In GarageBand, and the GarageBand will load right into Logic.
It's such a great way to learn, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that there's a huge opportunity to make, now artists get very sensitive to it, but take it, you know, create an extra track that most people have recorded more songs than what end up on the album. So taking one that is reasonably good, and putting it out there and it still sounds professional. It still sounds like something you can hear on the radio. And you're not as attached to it. Like if someone started remixing it or adding it, you'd be heartbroken. But giving people that creative, being able to play with it and doing it often is something that Apple could do today. And it would, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, and they'd pay the artist an extra $50,000 or an extra $100,000 for, you know, an artist could end up paying for a lot of their recording of the entire thing, because then it gets more people playing with GarageBand, you know, and really seeing how far GarageBand can be pushed. You know, I think that's part of it. And Logic.
So I understand now what happens with you disconnect the eGPU. It effectively reboots the machine. It doesn't quite reboot, but it shuts every process down. In case it's you. Now, I use SETI GPU to say every process should use the GPU. Maybe that was a maybe that was a mistake. You see how getting nervous about all this stuff can just really make your life worse, right? Just don't worry about it. Spend money. Enjoy. All right. I do not have an eGPU now. I am going to... I know you won't be able to see this, but you'll be able to hear it. I'm going to one more time. I'm sorry. I hate to belabor this, but I want to become a YouTube star.
Nope. Yep.
It's like starting up Airwolf. It's just a great sound.
Yeah.
Greatest sound.
Yeah. You'll launch Handbrake. We're going
to
transcode for the 50th time.
Every video by saying, hey, dudes.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys, what's happening? All right, we're now transcoding. We are now logicking. We are now playing music. Now let's watch this processor and see what happens. Do you hear my music? Oh, you can't hear it. That's right. No, don't worry. We don't care about that. No. It's not that important. It's playing. That's the main thing. And the same thing is happening, right? Which is it's flatlining the processor at 2.9 gigahertz. It's kind of normal nominal speed. Is transcoding slowing down? I don't know. Temperature again flat. So this looks exactly the same as it did with the eGPU, and it seems like everything is continuing as best it can. So that's good news. I feel like that patch definitely did something. I didn't have the benefit of trying this before the patch, but this is behavior we never saw.
One patched machine, Leo, we'll put them in the races.
Yeah. The thing, and I just want to point out, and I'll do this because people are probably saying, well, wait a minute, it goes below speed here, but that's supposed to, when you're not doing anything.
Yes.
It should. That's what gets you better battery life. And notice how quickly it responds to the nothing to do. The temperature goes down very quickly. The voltage goes down very quickly. The utilization is now 2%. And as a result, it's GPU is at, I mean, the CPU is at 1.37 gigahertz. But that's because I don't need it. It's not doing anything.
There's a lot of people think that slower is more efficient, but it's not. What you do in chips is race to sleep. So you get things done as fast as possible, then shut off so you're not using any power. And that's the best performance you can usually get.
I don't think that it's generally understood exactly how much of computer science and computer engineering is invested in trying to get the GPU to stop doing anything. that is the central thing to, because if it's a low power device like a phone or a tablet, you're desperately trying to save battery. If it's a high power device, you're desperately trying to save the life of the CPU by making sure it doesn't fire up hotter than it has to.
I feel like that this is all. Power management is aggressive on this and is doing exactly what you would expect it and want it to do, right?
That's exactly, you want it to go as fast as possible within the thermal constraints of the device.
Right.
You want to manage that all the time.
Right. And now we're getting, at least it's not going below 2.9 gigahertz, which is the reason you bought the i9, because that 200 megahertz faster than the i7. All right.
It's time to work. I mean, it really is an implementation detail. And for most people, it's time to work. If it finishes faster, it's better. And you don't really need to micromanage the frequencies
in
between.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right. Sorry we had to belabor that. But
it's Mac news. Come on. We have Mac news.
We got to do it, right?
This was something that requires a deep dive because when people hear, the new Apple something is defective and it's a swindle of some sort. We it's not enough simply to say, well, there's a patch, it got fixed. We all have to understand what the problem was, how that got fixed, did it get fixed, and everyone should understand that this is like morning information for lots of people today. So
well, and I'm not, you know. I really, it hurt my feelings a little bit to see all of these pile on posts that I felt like were not accurate. And I don't think I need to tell you guys I'm not an Apple fanboy by any means. Although now with Serenity at Apple, maybe I get an invite to the
Well, at least, Film Girl is at Microsoft. So Christina Warren is at Microsoft. So you have to love everybody.
We're losing them all. I love everybody. And that's I love and hate everybody equally.
Yes.
And I want to be fair is my main
point. And Yasmin is a group. I mean, like, there's just like all the companies took all the people we love.
I don't like, I will no longer talk to Film Girl or Serenity because I don't want to have friends at any of these companies because I don't want to be. I'm being facetious, obviously, but really, I don't want to be swayed by friendship. I want to be fair, and I felt like that was unfair. And I'm certainly going to be the first to say if Apple does something wrong.
There was no data. There was so much noise and so little data. Right. And what you need to follow these things is data. So rather than come up with these cockamamie theories, just do more tests.
Right. Mm. And I kind of wanted to wait till Anontech had.
The hard part
tests.
Is if you don't. You don't get views by doing more tests. You
That's
get views
right.
by saying it's all broken.
You get
it's
views
all
by
I
putting
found
stuff
it.
In the freezer. Which, by the way, don't do that.
And in all fairness, I mean, blogs do the same thing. I mean, reporters looked at blogs the same way blogs look at YouTube, and the cycle keeps going. It's just there are certain people in every industry. No industry is monolithic. Some people do amazing work. Some people do the opposite.
I'm a podcaster. I hate everybody.
Yep.
So that's why I'm going to have some wine right now from Wink. I'm sorry you guys aren't here. It's the time of day. It's that 5 o'clock somewhere. Wink. Is a wine club that makes its own wine. That's a very big difference. And they select wines to match your taste. So what you got to do is you got to go to the website, TRYWINC, get it, wine club, WINC.com/MacBreak, TryWink.com/MacBreak, and go through the palate quiz, which is a lot of fun. It'll profile your tastes. Do you like salt? Do you like, how do you take your coffee? Do you like citrus? Do you like peppers, mushrooms? You get a sense, that's for umami. You get a sense of what you like. And then they'll send you wines, 4 wines a month, which is perfect, right? 2 for me. I would say 4 bottles a month. So I would say 4 is just right because 1 in the cellar, 1 to bring to friends, and then a couple for you, for your meal, for a fine meal or date night. Here's a Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina. They also have artist design. Yeah, it's good. It's really. You like Malbecs? Should we open this up? Ooh. Oh, they're nodding out there. Our audience wants me to open the wine. I think it's a little bit early to open the wine.
It's hour 3 of the Today Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Tempo Vero. This is an Italian, I think. Yeah, product of Italy. Negromaro, Salento. So this with with wild beaches, ancient forests, and tempting local cuisine, the increasingly important wine region of Salento. Anybody? I've never heard of that. Is nestled in the heel of Italy's boot, just waiting to be discovered. So you get notes of blackberry, sour cherry, currant, and spice. So it's a full-bodied big wine. You'd expect that from southern Italy because of the sun. That sounds wonderful. So these are all made by Winks Vintners, brought to you. Very affordably. If you ever get something you don't enjoy, no problem. They'll send you another bottle, no questions asked. Every month, new delicious wines, like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé, which is amazing. Here's one I'm going to have, I think, because it's getting hot, the Chenin Blanc from South Africa, Cape Route. Look at the labels. See, you'll be happy to bring these to your friends, you know, when you're invited to a dinner party, because they'll go, oh, that's... and. This is stuff maybe you've never heard of. I haven't, of Salento, the Salento wine region. Here's Diviner. This is a Sauvignon Blanc from Santa Ynez Valley in California. So you can mix and match whites and reds depending on your favorites. You can pick ones you like, of course, if you have one. The field theory is my absolute favorite, so I always make sure my case always comes with one field theory at least in there. They partner with local artists to develop the wine labels that are unique. There's no membership fees. You can skip any month. You can cancel any time. So there's really no obligation. Shipping's covered. And as I said, if you don't like a bottle, they'll replace it with one you love. No questions asked. Wink. I love Wink. Why drink the same old wine? You know, we all get in wine ruts. You know, I know what that's going to be. Explore new regions, new tastes, and find stuff you absolutely love. TRYWINC, TryWink.com/MacBreak. TryWink.com/MacBreak. They're demanding the Malbec. I love Malbecs too. You're going to have to fight my wife for this because she loves Malbecs too. TryWink, Amazon.com/MacBreak for $20 off your first shipment. The Play Store beat the App Store for downloads in Q2 2018. Cause for concern?
Not when you look at the profit numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
that's all developers care about.
It, less than half the spending, according to App Annie.
It should be so much bigger than the App Store just based on number of devices in market.
Right. Right. It's exactly.
Well, not all Android devices have access to the App Store, which is something that the EU is now fining Google for. So.
Yep.
There was a great survey by Ben Beharin who was looking at money spent in the App Store and how and people do what. And it should come as no surprise, but people who are willing to buy iPhones are more willing to pay for apps.
That's I really don't like comparisons between like the Play Store is more successful than the App Store or the iPhone is less not the dominant operating system here. They're just two such complete different things because with Android, you're not just talking about like 2018 Studley phones, things that are actually competitive with the iPhone. You're also talking about but the bike computer that I own that runs the free version of Android, but obviously it has no access to the App Store. You're also talking about Amazon devices. You're also talking about old phones that get blister packed. You're talking about phones in China, for instance, that are running again the open source version of Android, but don't get access to. Because they don't sign those agreements with Google, they don't have access to the Play Store or other things. So whether you see a stat that makes Android look like it's doing better or Apple looks like it's doing better, you really have to attack the fine print before you come to any conclusion whatsoever.
The one that really startled me, though, was that when people switched from Android to iPhone, they started spending more on apps, which I thought was interesting, too, because it's not based on – it means it's not person-based. Like there is an economy or hegemony play there.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Although there are more free apps on Android.
Pardon me?
There may be more free apps on Android. So when you get
iPhone. And his survey, and Carolina Milanese, who's brilliant, did a really good deep dive into all the different things. Because people are really worried because we see this with every industry. People don't want to pay for news anymore. They don't want to pay for TV. They don't want to pay for apps. And app vendors, they kept the prices for a lot longer than like music industry people did. And now there's like Spotify and Apple Music, and it's much less than you used to get paid. And that's happening to apps. And people are going to subscriptions, and they're nervous about it, and they don't know. Will they pay a subscription? Will they pay for 10 app subscriptions a month? 100? Will it scale? Are they going to demand bundles? It's a very stressful, I think, economy for a lot of app developers. I think stuff like this is only beginning to be investigated.
Well, I think that just like with Spotify and Apple, Apple Music, as that net gets bigger, there's an opportunity to make a lot more money too. I think that it is, it wasn't, yes, people weren't making as much, the music industry was not making as much money with Spotify and Apple Music when they started. But as we start to get a larger and larger percentage of the music listening audience into those pools, the music industry is starting to make a lot more money. And there's an avenue for artists to bypass the music industry, the middlemen completely and go straight to the platform. And so there's a lot of opportunity that those platforms, which I think a lot of us who are watching this knew that would happen eventually. It's not what, a lot of artists were very upset. And a lot of the time it wasn't because they weren't getting a large percentage from, they weren't seeing any of it or very little of it from the record company, and that's why they weren't getting paid. But I think that these numbers are getting much larger because the pool's getting much larger. And I think that we'll continue to see people making more money, whether it's subscription or they're selling the app. I know personally, I like to buy stuff. Like I don't like to, what I really think is a great model is the free download with an in-app purchase. I think that is just such a great model because now I get a sense of what your app does and then I pay for it. I do get concerned that I'm getting into these like lots and lots of little $2 and $3. And I think at the beginning I was like, oh, that's fine. Now I think really hard before I start subscribing because I'm just afraid I'm just going to forget about it. And, I'm going to start getting bigger bills. And I have started to go through iTunes and call out, the subscriptions that I have.
At least iTunes makes it really, it's about the easiest way to find your subscriptions.
Also, for music, you can subscribe to Spotify and get almost all music. You don't have to subscribe on a studio by studio basis or an artist by artist basis, which is what people are complaining about with TV now, because you need Netflix and you need Hulu and you need the new DC network and you need the new Disney network and you need the new CBS network. And suddenly you have 800 subscriptions again, and people can't manage that. And will apps end up being the same as that? Or will there be something that's like Amazon had a subscription app service for a while, but will Apple and Google roll out subscription app services? Be interesting.
Well, I think that the hard part for the developers, and I think it'd be good for us as users, is to what if we paid a certain amount to Apple and then we had a subscription and we were just able to be downloading. The problem is that you would be paid by usage, and a lot of us know that you buy the app and then you use it for like a week and then you never use it again, and that could be a very unstable experience for the for the app developer.
Also they've had the experience of seeing what happens to artists on Spotify, where subscription music services, their revenue is negligible and the effect is largely promotional, so that they hopefully steer people towards places where the band can actually make money. So I'm not sure the developers would be really keen on signing up for if a band that's had hit albums for 15 years don't like their relationship with Spotify. I'm not sure if me and my little horsey tic-tac-toe program are going to do any better.
Well, as long as we're talking about Apple's versus Android, Apple's iPhones, according to Ookla, are slower overall than Samsung in internet speeds. The average iPhone internet speed, this is a Mark Gurman story from Mark Gurman and Ian King from Bloomberg. The average iPhone speed is, let's see, I'm trying to find it. The Samsung speeds average on the S9 Plus 38.4 megabits. And this is, Ookla is, of course, the speedtest.net. So they have a lot of data.
PCMag owns them now, PCMag's parent company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 169,000 phone connections, average speed 38.4 megabits. Now remember, the connections vary widely. Yeah. The average iPhone speed, presumably on the same kinds of connections, 603,000 tests, 29.7 megabits.
I don't know. I felt like when I saw the data by itself, as Andy's office pointed out, was not very valuable because, you don't know where they are. You don't know what maybe they're in the same region, but are they inside of a building? Are they outside of a building? And I get that there's an overall average, but I was kind of curious, and I opened up my iPhone and I hit test and, got over 40 megs a second.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, well, I don't know what that means.
Literally,
your
mileage may vary.
It's also, Apple since the very beginning has been, there are things that Apple is very aggressive about, things they're very conservative about, and radios have always been one of the conservative things. Like, they didn't have 3G in the first iPhone, and they didn't have LTE when the HTC Thunderbolt came out, and they haven't been moving towards the same kind of modems that Android is readily embracing, and I don't think they'll go to 5G as fast as, maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't think they'll go to 5G as fast as some of the more experimental Android phones will, and Apple seems to be okay with that. They'd rather very carefully manage the power consumption of a known and tested, maybe second generation shrunk processor radio chip, and they're happy with that. And as long as the chip, whether it's Intel or Qualcomm, can do the minimum requirements they have for it, they're happy using both of them.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just ran it here on my iPhone 10. Download speed 144 megabits per second. Upload speed 167 megabits per second.
That's on your LTE or on your.
That's on Wi-Fi. Should I do LTE? Nope.
Do LTE,
because that's our Sonic 10 gigabit Wi-Fi. See on the Mac Pro. 870 megabits.
I think they're talking about the Wi-Fi radio.
Radio. All right. Let me turn off Wi-Fi and let's see. And I'm on T-Mobile LTE, so let's see what we get there.
This is why this kind of a number is extremely suspicious, because there are countries in which Samsung just absolutely kicks the iPhone's butt in popularity, and a lot of those places are places that have absolutely wonderful modern mobile broadband. In the United States, there's so many places where iPhone dominates. There's so many places where you're barely getting 3G speed.
Yeah. So this is T-Mobile.
And also, it was a big day for Qualcomm yesterday, so those articles seemed very convenient.
Yeah, as my friend,
is it T-Mobile on both?
I don't have it on the...
Qualcomm was super sarcastic MacBook. When they asked them for comment. They're like, well, Apple doesn't use exclusively our modems, and even when they do, they probably don't take best advantage of it, and they're involved in a huge lawsuit.
There are... we have a femto cell, so it's probably not fair either, come to think of it.
For instance, if world average mobile broadband speed is 7.0 megabits per second, Samsung is a South Korean company. Average speed in South Korea is 28.6.
Right. So the Qualcomm gigabit LTE chips, I think, are a little faster than the Intel chips, right?
Yeah.
So, but and I don't think they offer really the gigabit on iPhone either.
This is really deciding whether your car goes 120 miles an hour top speed or 140 miles an hour top speed, you know, compared to what most people need it for on their phone. You know, I think that that's a, yeah. I mean, I think that's the issue. Is they're saying,
I got 96 in my living room, so mine's at 96.3, so it's fine. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Somebody uploaded the Apple phone repair how-to videos, and they're now gone. Not just
that, but like every repair. Yeah, that was a quick, remember how glowingly I spoke of Downy, the Mac OS app that just lets you download stuff off of YouTube?
Yeah.
All I had to do was navigate to that person's page, the top page, click a button, and it downloaded everything that person had uploaded, because somehow you imagine that that's not going to last very long.
It wasn't going to last.
And there's a bunch of people that walked over to somebody's desk at Apple, and that was you can do anything you want at Apple on your last day.
Yeah. iPhone 10 sets new record for resale value, 85% on average of retail price. That's a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that when you discuss the value proposition of an iPhone, like you have the iPhone itself and you know what that costs you, but you factor in, if you're near an Apple store, all the free classes you can get, and also the resale value. And traditionally, we have people on our forums that buy every new iPhone every year and sell it. And I think it's a growth industry for them.
Yeah, but that's always a good point. That's part of what's not. Renee always brings that up because it's an important part of the discussion where people don't. When people say that Apple stuff always costs more, well, oftentimes it lasts longer and you get better resale for it. Another part of that is, you always hear about how spending $350 on a pair of leather boots is economical because these boots will last you 15 years, as opposed to the $100 pair that you'll have to replace at least like four times in that same era. However, a lot of people will never have $350 at one point to spend on a pair of boots. They have to go to Walmart. They have to buy the cheap off brand. So a lot of people, it would be not one of the reasons why it's a good idea for Apple to reach out to people with lower income is that they won't have the $650 to spend on the second tier iPhone. They only have $250 or $300 to spend. So then those resale values are absolutely nothing, but still that's what they can actually put the money together for.
I give you the iPhone Photography Award winners for 2018. These are done with an iPhone. Just beautiful images. Now, this is from
Mac
Rumors.
He's definitely a pink guy.
Do not put a fish in your eye. I know. This is a smart thing for Apple to do.
Yeah.
Which is highlight the winners.
Real dinosaur.
This is Tim Cook's tweet. And speaking of tweets, Gary Vaynerchuk says the Planet of the Apps failed because Apple didn't market it right. No.
It was a lie.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Said, that was the worst show. That's not the worst show I've ever seen, but wow.
Gary said, I was like, F this. It was just a bad show, Gary. It's not your fault.
It was a bad show.
It was just a bad show.
First tip off,
such great production value. It's a terrible show.
Now, remember, Gary, who I know well and love, does run a marketing company, and I think his chief complaint was, why didn't Apple use my marketing company? Because it would have done so much better. No, Gary, it was a bad show.
There was no amount of marketing that was going to fix that show.
In fact, in a way, had more people seen it, it would have been worse.
Well, and I think part of why Apple took the foot off the gas is that they showed it at WWC, and which is theoretically would be the prime audience to watch it. And I don't know what the reaction was, but the word on the street was the reaction was not.
Uptown does make a good point in our chat room. It was hard to find. And this is going to be the issue of putting a show on Apple Music. Apple really, before it launches all of these new shows that it's paying $1 billion for, does need to solve this problem, I would say.
Well, I don't know if they want it to be easy to find. Like, it's one thing to cancel it and have it disappear, and it's another thing just not to have it show up everywhere.
Right.
I think that might have been part of the situation. I mean, because when you see if you use Apple TV, I think it's not that hard when you look at discoverability of I open it up and I see the new, you know, Apple already has a whole platform to show us stuff on TV shows and movies and everything else that they want to put that on, because I'm already going there as a as an Apple TV
user. That's true. I would see it on my Apple TV. I did see it on my Apple TV. There was no question. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people going to that. You know, we're not talking about finding it on iTunes. We're talking about finding it on your Apple TV interface when you say movies, you know, which I probably see a couple times a week.
Right.
So, you know, I think that it's going to be, I think they're going to be able to launch stuff fairly effectively. Also, they just chose not to launch that one.
It was it's the idea of this show and Carpool Karaoke. It seems like the perfect choices if you're trying to create original content. You're going to start with two shows that are really cheap to produce. You don't necessarily have like huge names associated with them that are going to be embarrassed by a failure. It seems like a good way to test out your ability to actually manage a production production studio and see what it's like to actually distribute these things. You're not going to buy the rights to iRobot as a 30-part maxi series and launch with that.
No, I don't think that. I actually think a narrative would have been easier to do than this.
Really?
Because you're just hiring a showrunner and a producer, and that's a standard Hollywood model. You're going to buy into something that you like. That production process is so well known that, I mean, you have to get the right script and you have to get the right people, but the actual machine of it is not something that Apple would figure out. They would, and that's what they're not figuring it out now. When they're hiring out to have these shows done, those are being done by Hollywood showrunners with Hollywood producers with Hollywood, you know, everything. You know, there's nothing new about that process that's going on. I will say that, you know, I notice a jump in quality when karaoke started, you know, so, you know, someone definitely said, okay, we're going to take out this and put this in and, you know, everything else to make this actually look good. But I think that as someone who does a lot of that, looking at the plant or, the app show, they spent a lot of money on that.
I mean, they did. They had the escalator from hell or to hell or from heaven.
A lot of money.
The app escalator.
See, this is where you knew this was going to be a failure. When they hear, well, there's this famous thing called the elevator pitch, and it's like if you got just the person you want in an elevator, and you only had like 30 seconds to pitch in the elevator, that great, we should do that. But only let's make it an escalator. It'd be an escalator pitch.
You can't see somebody in an elevator. You got to be able to see them. So naturally, it has to be an escalator.
They call it in television and movies high concept. And it almost always is a bad idea.
I mean, it was the set. They spent a lot of money on that set.
A lot of money. Gwyneth Paltrow and Gary Vaynerchuk and Will I Am. And I mean, yeah, that was
Jessica Alba.
Yeah. How much do you think it costs to get an hour of Jessica Alba's time? You know.
Well, but you didn't hire the person from any of the good Marvel movies. You got probably the woman from the worst one ever.
I don't care.
Scarlett Johansson was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Your picks of the week, friends, fellas. You want to do it?
Yay.
Let's
do it.
Do it. Let's do it. I got two. I got two because I got a new MacBook Pro, so I got stuff to pick. It's not the eGPU.
Yeah.
Our show today is brought to you by WordPress. I'll pick that for where my website lives, my presence, You know, the most important thing, really, if you're a business or even as an individual, is that you have a home on the web that's yours, that you own, that you control. That's your website. Now, I know people have Facebook pages. Say, oh, I don't need a website. You do, especially if you're a business. You do. And actually, you know, I told my kids this for years. If you don't create your own persona on the web, your reputation on the web, somebody else can do it for you. You want it when they search for your name, you want them to find your site. That's why you should go right now to WordPress.com and create your own site. No limits. Create the ultimate online hub that's truly yours, that has room to grow as you aim higher. Turn your vision into a reality. You don't have to have any technical expertise. Don't worry. You choose from hundreds of designs to match your vision, to establish your brand. I mean, if you are a designer or a developer, WordPress, as you know, is the sky's the limit, but you don't have to be. And it's totally hassle-free. WordPress takes care of the hosting, the security, the software updates. You focus on your site. I've used WordPress for years, but I was, for a long time, hosting it myself. When I discovered WordPress.com, where they do all the hard stuff, including keeping it up to date and secure, and the hosting is less than I was paying for my host. I said, oh, it's crazy. Why aren't I? So I immediately moved everything to WordPress.com. $4 a month. That's what it starts at. And, of course, the best support in the world. They're there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And on weekends, too, you can upload images, video, audio, and more. Import and export your content to and from your WordPress website. You're never locked in, but you never want to leave. Trust me. Built-in SEO as you grow. Social media features like social media linking, which means your customers or fans can share the good news about you to their websites, to their Facebook page, to their Twitter feed. Great marketing tools, too. And with the WordPress app on iOS or Android, you can manage your site on the go. Actually, they have it for Mac and Windows, too. You're going to love WordPress. And I don't have to really convince you, because 31% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress, okay? That should tell you something. Almost a third of all the sites in the world are on WordPress. Right now, you can get 15% off any new plan purchase at wordpress.com/macbreak. To create your new site, wordpress.com/macbreak. 15% off wordpress.com/macbreak. We thank them so much for their support of MacBreak Weekly and your support of WordPress. I thank you for that. Andy Anatko, your pick of the week.
Mine is a quickie, and it's just a YouTube channel. It's the Photoshop training channel that I started watching for the past 2 or 3 weeks as I'm doing a lot more ambitious photo editing of my stuff in Lightroom and in Photoshop. YouTube is always great because if there's something you don't know how to do and you want to do it, you Google, you do a YouTube search for it, you'll find a video for it. But oftentimes it's garbage, or the person's, he's one of these people who shout speaks, and as useful as the information is, you can't listen to it for more than 30 seconds. But I love the Photoshop training channel because it's full of just one and done. Here's how you do this thing, as well as the handier, here are 5 things in Lightroom you probably don't know how to do, but you probably should know how to do. They're well produced, they're really, really handy, and they're perfect for, again, that situation where you've got a picture in front of you, you realize that the colors are off in just this one section of it. You want to you've been screwing it up for the past 10 minutes. I'll go to Photoshop training channel, see what video they have on that, and I'll be darned, they've got a video specifically on that problem. My difficulty is that I've been using Photoshop and Lightroom for years, and by now I've just come to realize how much of it I'm not using because I've trained myself to do things wrong to get a certain result that kind of works, whereas there's a much better way to get the solution that absolutely works and will do it in 5 seconds instead of like 50 hours. A lot of good training channels out there, but I've been really, really exploiting Photoshop training channel on YouTube.
Very nice. Mr. Rene Ritchie, what do you like this week?
So I got another Pokemon pick for you, Leo.
Forgive me,
but I found this. So there was this Pokemon Go Plus, and I recommended it previously, and that was a little Bluetooth device. You connected it to your app, and you would press a button, and it would like throw balls to catch Pokemon or spin stops for you. But now there's this third party. I don't know if it's black market. It's not made by Nintendo or by the Pokemon company, but it uses the same protocols as a Pokemon Go Plus. I really think it's a hacked like Xiaomi Mi device.
Oh, interesting.
That they've put together, and it basically does everything the Pokemon Go Plus does, but does it automatically. So you turn it on, and you don't have to press any buttons, you don't have to click anything. You just go out for your walk, you go about your business, and it will catch Pokemon, or it will spin stops, or it will do both for you. And some people like it because they don't want to have to be looking down at their phones while they're out walking or jogging, or they don't want to have to be distracted while they're out. You know, they want it handled for them.
I think that's cheating.
Yeah, so I don't know how I feel about it yet because I haven't used it. My worry, of course, is more selfish. I'm afraid I'll lose like shiny Pokemon because it'll throw a regular dumb ball at
it. Yeah, exactly.
And they'll run away from me, and I'll see it in my journal, and I'll cry forever.
It's very much lowest common denominator Pokemon hunting.
Yeah, it's for people who want to grind. You want to just get as much experience or stardust as possible. But because so many people were asking about it, I thought I would get one and try it out. So far, I like it less, but other people might like it more.
Do you have the other one?
It is available. I have the Go Plus, and I use that a lot when I'm walking and I don't want to take the phone out of my pocket.
Right.
But I usually just put it on stops, and that just spins the stops for me and doesn't the watch.
That's actually the best thing, right? Just collect all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does it while you're doing raids and while you're doing other things, so you can actually double play a little bit.
Go ahead, Andy. I hear somebody dissing Pokemon Go.
I'm not dissing Pokemon Go. Okay. I've never intentionally.
He finds us adorable.
I'm sorry if I gave that. Again, there's sometimes you get so much pleasure out of the pleasure someone else is visibly getting from something, even if it's something that you don't get yourself.
Yes.
So no,
they've changed the sorting on friends now again. I don't know what I'm seeing.
They did an update yesterday, and they announced. So first of all, Leo and Lisa and I are all best friends. We're all
buddies.
Great friends now.
Yes, yeah, great friends.
Like super duper friends. They announced lucky Pokemon now, Leo. So if you do a trade, you have a chance of getting a lucky Pokemon.
Oh, well, we'll That's be trading back and forth then quite a bit. Now I have to be in proximity to trade with you, right?
Yes.
So I can. So only
you and Lisa have a higher
wife.
Likelihood, of getting a lucky Pokemon.
Yeah. Me and Lisa back and forth.
There you go.
All right. By the way, all three of us are maxed out at 200 friends. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
And there's no, I was trying to delete some to make room for others, and it's so difficult to delete people that I gave up.
Yeah. I still enjoy this. This is a really fun game. The other day, Lisa and I, we now have started taking walks in the evening. See, it's really good. It's right.
Yeah.
And we were walking through a park that's a really good place. It's got a nest. I think it's a Diglett nest. It's got three stops. There's a gym right next door. It's a wonderful, wonderful area. There's a bunch of teenagers sitting at a picnic table. They shout, "Are you pokey hunting?" We said, "Yeah." And I said, "More importantly, are you Valor?" And they said, "Yeah, Valor."
Yeah, I am too. So they're all good-hearted people.
He said, "Is that red?" I said, "Yes, red."
The nice thing, like for me, and I know Andy mentioned this when he moved, is that I'm in a new location and I was walking down the street and I saw what looked like a park, and I could not see it from the road, but I went down the path and then turned, and behind a bunch of really big looking houses was a little tiny public park right on the river that was absolutely gorgeous. And there is no way I would ever have found it if I hadn't sort of followed those crumbs. And now
gotta
I just sit there sometimes and watch the water. Yeah.
I'm walking with my free bass because apparently if you get 20 kilometers with your free bass, it just evolves all by itself.
You have to still, it lets you evolve it into a Milotic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You already all knew about that.
No, it's one of those, it's always new and always changing every time.
I do admire them a little bit for that. They finally got the idea that, you know, let's add new features all the time.
Yeah.
Let's really, a lot more people are playing it. I think they looked at Fortnite and said, "Why aren't we getting some of that $1.5 million?"
The Japanese have this thing called Wafu Raiding, and it's become popular other places where basically you try to do as many as you can in a row, and they go in, they start, then they immediately drive to the next one. I managed to do 35 in 3 hours.
What?
They get 55 in an hour. And they think of all these different competitive things to do. It's really... It's amazing what kind of subcultures bubble up.
You can't really raid by yourself, right? So what do you go
No,
with?
So we have four people in a car, which is enough for the ones that we're doing. And then we just went from raid to raid.
You're a madman. All right, I have two things to pick.
Awesome.
The first one I really like. I remember me dissing the touch bar. You remember that? Yeah. Well, since I got a touch bar, I'm going to try to get the most I can out of it. And so I've downloaded Better Touch Bar, which you know about, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, it's terrific.
Yeah. It lets you completely customize your touch bar. I'm using somebody else's massive customization. I have a screenshot of it. It might be easier to see this screen. Well, maybe not. But the idea is you can add new features to your touch bar. I've got battery life. You see 20 hours. You see that? You see that? You see that? I've got the date, the weather, control of my speakers. I've got emojis available. I have a show finder button because I'm always wanting to press the show finder button to launch the, you know, open up the finder. You always have to go to the dock to do that. I've got my calendar, which when I press it automatically opens Fantastical. I really like this, the full screen button, which will full screen whatever the frontmost app is automatically. And so this is... This is if you go to Better Touch Bar, you'll find this as the it's in the community. Let me see if I can get there real quick.
There's very different touch bar owners. Like some people just want shortcuts and some people just want data and some people want a blend of both of those, like glanceable data and shortcuts.
It's Better Touch Tool. Let me get the name right. Folivora.ai. Folivora.ai. But if you go to the community, they have a lot of different, and there's a Reddit form as well, but they have a lot of, and frankly, I found it way overwhelming to configure it myself. Look at this. This is insane. So I'm really glad that there's community touch bars out there, and I just downloaded one of them from bettertouchtool.net, and it's I can't remember the name of it, but it's a very, very good. Let me see if I can find the.
And you'll very quickly find what your preferences are. Just as
what do you do with your touch tool?
I like it for shortcuts because for some reason, like I never, there's some apps like Photoshop and, you know, Final Cut that I remember the shortcuts, but there are other apps that I just use once in a while and I can never remember them. And it comes up there and I press the buttons. I also love it for things like Safari because before they had the little tab icons, you never knew what tab was which and it was so slow to go through and try to find tabs. But you could just swipe back and forth on the touch bar and it would immediately show you every tab in a sequence. And I could find the one I wanted. So it was like little niche things like that or just like spelling things. I was spelling a word wrong. It would always be there and I could just tap on it.
Yeah, I don't really want to spend that much time customizing it. So I'm using Golden Chaos Better Touch Tool, a complete touch bar UI. You just download it. It is a click a link and it downloads. And then you're going to want to go into it and you can just uncheck the ones you don't want. It has a ton of stuff. And I just find this really handy. And, you know, there's things I'm playing with, like having some my Git commands there would be really nice.
Yeah.
So as you're right, as you get more specific and you want some quickies. This is the other thing I wanted to show you. This is from HyperDrive. I've had a couple of these. These were Indiegogos. This is the HyperDrive Duo Hub for USB-C MacBook Pro 13 and 15. This works with the new one. I got it, of course, in the same color as my MacBook Pro, which is comes a little...
Can you keep it in your belt, Leo?
I could keep it on my belt. It's got a little belt loop. But this one's interesting because it uses both of the Type-Cs on the side there. Adds HDMI, two Type-Cs, and that's why you got two. So one's for power and one's for something else. Card reader. This is what I'm going to take on my trip. So I have a compact way to have my card reader. And yeah, there's the little pouch. And let me just plug it in and show you it like that. You should be careful with these. The one I had before broke off. You got to, obviously, with something sticking out of the USB-C, you're going to want to make sure you're careful with it. You don't want to leave it plugged in. There's the light. And now everything is live. That's kind of cool, huh? It's about the only way you can make this. So you notice both of these picks are about making things I really don't like about the MacBook Pro useful. One is the lack of ports. The other is the... Well, if I got to live with the touch bar, I love the fingerprint reader. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I do want, you know, the additional capabilities. And that this is really nice to be able to do that.
When you get to, like, install software, type in your password, or Touch ID, you just touch it.
I love that. That won me over big time. I'm so sick of typing my password. Mr. Alex Lindsay, your pick of the week. By the way, $99 for this HyperDrive Hub. Sorry.
I want one really little one. If you haven't seen it, there's a designer on, and he's posting it on Facebook. And I put a link in here. We'll put it in the notes. But it is a he takes the fonts that we, or the logos that we see often, and just types in the font that they're using.
Which
I just
nice.
Think is great. Yeah, and so he just has a bunch of popular ones. Hopefully he'll do more of them. But you'll see if you, I think it's right pinned at the top there. But if you click on it, it's like the YouTube logo. But it's listing off, you know, what the actual font is that they're using, you know, for that logo.
And oh, very
it's not
handy.
You can't do on your own. It's just really fun to kind of look at where, and it's, I think there's only a handful of them. I'm hoping he puts more up there. Anyway, so it's just, that's a real quick one.
In fonts, the equivalent of a perfect pitch, where there are people who just look at a font and go, oh yeah, that's avant-garde.
So when I used to be a print designer, I could get pretty close pretty fast. Mm-hmm. My skill set is not what it used to be, but I could get down to two or three fonts within, you know, just looking at something. I don't think that my eye isn't as tuned as it used to be. And there's a lot more fonts, you know, when I was doing it.
There sure are. 90s. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you'd always pick certain ones, but it's just kind of a fun,
So Instagram uses Billabong. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah,
we only used three fonts when we started.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I love Myriad Pro. What is that? Facebook? What's using Myriad Pro?
Apple used to use Myriad Pro.
Yeah,
that's switched to San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think we still use Myriad Pro. Yeah, you know, so but the Anyway, so it's just kind of a fun way as you go through those to see.
What's surprising is how many companies are using, you know, like standard shelf, off the shelf fonts.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. There's two thoughts there. You know, people are now starting to move to their own fonts. So you'll see that Apple has San Francisco is not a public font.
Right.
There's definitely a lot of companies that are starting to design their own. And they're oftentimes similar to something, but not the same.
Right.
There's a couple reasons for that. One is their look is their look. Another reason is they don't have to pay licensing for it.
It's expensive.
You know, so they own it. Yeah, it's cheaper to have someone build a logo than to constantly be paying for everybody in the whole company to use that font. And all the external contractors.
This font on our site, the one with the big letters, I pay somebody every month for that. I can't remember what it is, but it's a very nice font. But we paid for it because I wanted it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so anyway, that's a real quick one. And the other one that is groundbreaking is iWork.
What?
I use it so much now. You know, so the thing is that it is, you know, they have really started to get this all working. I just want to, like, if you've got iWork on your computer, which a lot of people who are listening do, and you don't use it because you're using something else, I'm not saying that it's for everything. If you're dealing with a lot of people that you have to give them Word files or whatever, it's fine. But one of the things that we've been doing a lot of is going back and forth between my iPad and my computer, and it is just really smooth, you know. So, you know, like when I think I talked earlier about using card view to kind of think of my keynotes. Now I just use Keynote on the iPad, you know, and I just draw it all out and I create another slide and I draw it all out. Then I have everything handwritten and drawn out and little diagrams of what I want and everything else. And it's very creative. And then I bring it, it's on iCloud. I open up Keynote on my computer when I get back to the office. What's happening for me is that I'm trying to not bring my laptop home. And so I'm, you know, trying to just kind of like leave that stuff there, but I still have my iPad and I have my pencil and I just draw out things that I want. And the process, what really got me also was in Pages, where you open up your iPad and you just really want the MacBook to be able to draw on it, because I'm like, oh, I want a picture here. And you start drawing into into your Pages doc of this is where I'm going to put a picture and this is how I'm going to work on it. And we started doing a lot of the collaborations where you send someone, you know, and that's become seamless. It was not seamless when they started it. It was a mess. And there is it's not quite as responsive as Google Docs, but it's pretty darn close. And Pages just looks so much nicer. Like when you put together a proposal in Google Docs, it looks like Google Docs. And when you put it together in Word, it takes a lot of work to make it look good. I've been building all these proposals for a variety of different things. And my process right now is I write it in Notes, because then it's just available on everything that I possibly am using and for that kind of thing. And then I usually for us to review it, what I used to do is, well, what I still do a little bit now is still put it in Google Docs, because then people can, you know, cut it all up and, you know, our guys can log into it. But what I started to move to is just putting in Pages and going to Collaborate. And then you apply a theme in Pages and it suddenly looks way better than you would do normally. It's just that the themes work really well. Someone spent a lot of time, looking at it and thinking about it and all the color schemes and the font schemes and, you know, all those bits and pieces all just work. And suddenly it looks like a real report. It looks like a real thing, you know, that you would pay for. And now you sit there and just keep on editing from there. And it looks really nice. The other thing is that I've had to go back to Excel and Google Sheets recently, because almost everything we do is in Numbers. And wow, if you're using Excel for small things, if you're using Excel for calculating, you know, huge, you know, data structures for science or for the IMF, you probably need to use Excel. If you are organizing your next show or your next little process or you're doing budgets, you know, small budgets for a single, you know, bit and piece, you're really living a hard life by using something other than Numbers, because Numbers is not, doesn't scale as well as Excel. But when I say not doesn't scale as well, it's kind of like, it'll scale. I mean, it'll do a lot of complex bits and pieces. It will not do, you know, 40 sheets and with hundreds and hundreds of dependencies and so on and so forth. It might. I just haven't tried. But it is so smooth and so fast, and the ability to take the you know, build multiple tables onto one sheet. I mean, when you get used to that, you go back to Excel and you're like, what the? So anyway, I think a lot of people, you know, take it for granted because it comes for free. And there's a lot of things that, you know, I complain about, or I complained about a lot. Like, I hated Pages for a long time because it was so slow. And it's just, I think the computer's caught up with it, you know, with what it's doing now. And Keynote is, in my industry, is the standard. No one thinks about that. I mean, like, no one considers, like, using Pages on a, but PowerPoint.
Yeah.
On stage. And like, right. Like, no, let's not do that. You tell the client that you're using their PowerPoint slide, but then you converted it all to Keynote. I think that it's worth taking a look at it, and specifically it's worth taking a look at how it interacts with the iPad if you have a pencil, because your ability to sit there and play with ideas and draw on stuff and figure stuff out really makes it a much more creative process. And I have to admit, this is good at marketing from Apple, because I wasn't really thinking that way until I saw their education, you know, presentation. And I was watching how the kids were doing it in their little ad, and I was like, I didn't really think of it that way. And I started playing with it, and now it's just like part of my process. You know, so it's definitely worth, it's something that's, the only reason I wanted to bring it up is because it's something that we take for granted
a lot. Yeah.
You know, and they are, from a creative perspective, especially, it's just a great collection of apps, you know, to develop your ideas into something that people can read. And I'm, you know, working pretty hard on teaching my kids how to make the most of it for their class projects and so on and so forth, because it's a really good platform to work on.
Agree 100%. Have you been using the new Collaborate stuff? Does it work pretty well?
It does. It didn't when they launched it. It was a nightmare. Like it was just a mess. I was just like, oh, this is never going to work. And then some of the folks in the office started going, oh, it's starting to work. And in the last update, it has been just seamless. And you know, now I'm on calls with the producer, and both of us are looking at the same thing, and we're editing it all and putting it all together and watching all the stuff appear and disappear the way we would with a Google Doc, and it works great. And yeah, definitely worth it.
They've done a nice job. I'm going to have to take another look at it again. I mean, everybody's got it. That's the other advantage. Everybody's using a Mac, has it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex Lindsay. If you want to find out what Alex is up to, go to his Twitter feed, AlexLindsay. He's at thepixelcore.com. Alex, always a pleasure.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. From D.C., Andy Iannocco. He's at IH. I'm sorry, you're going to be back in town?
Yeah, next week.
Oh, good. We'll see you next week. Mm-hmm. You can touch my hot MacBook Pro.
That's about to be the fifth or
and
the
we have a title.
Show title. We've seen.
Andy Iannocco is at IHNATKO.com. And he's at Iannocco on the Twitter. But he's Andy I on the Flickr. And he's got great pictures. Always a pleasure.
You can always tell when I signed up for a service, I was on an Andy I kick forever until I decided, okay, I'm not going to get Andy I everywhere, but I need to get Iannocco now that I have cousins across the world that
you should
our internet.
You just bit the bullet and you said, I don't care. I have no idea how to spell it myself, but I'm going to let everybody be Iannoccoized.
Exactly.
Thank you, Andrew. And Renee Ritchie, he's at imore.com. So if Lori Gill runs iMore, what do you do?
I help out with the whole network.
So you're like Mobile Nations man.
I try. And I do a lot of the Apple coverage still because I just can't quit it.
I don't know why I'm saying, what do you do? You only write a million words a day. But I didn't realize you weren't in charge of day-to-day operations at iMore.
No, Serenity took that over, and now Lori has taken that over.
Great. Well, you do Vector. That keeps you pretty busy. In fact, before I bought the MacBook Pro, what did I do? I listened to your discussion about the i9 processors on Vector. It's really good. imore.com/Vector.
Ian Cutler is a brilliant guy from Anantech.
Yeah. Can't wait to listen
and
to that.
And tomorrow's show is Bridger Maxwell, who used to be at Apple, and Mei-Li Kuo, who used to be on Apple's design team. They've got a new app for whiteboarding on an iPad, which is fantastic.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Oh, I'll be listening. Fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
What is it you would say you do here?
I have no legal responsibilities whatsoever.
We do Mac Break Weekly on Tuesdays right after iOS Today. It's kind of an all-Apple morning. If you want to visit us at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, that would be 1800 UTC. Just tune in twit.tv/live. There are four or five video streams, a couple of audio streams. Pick the one you like the best. And if you do all that, join us in the chat room. You really got to be part of the chat room to be part of the cool kids. That's irc.twit.tv. If you can't watch live, actually, one more thing. You can also be in studio. We had two nice members of our studio audience who were very kindly did not drink my wine. Although I understand he wrist wrestled Lisa for it. Travis from San Antonio, actually Fredericksburg, right next door, and Mark from Los Angeles. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a seat out for you. If you can't be here live, you can always watch on demand. Everything we do is available at the website. In this case, twit.tv/MBW. See that nice font? It's not cheap. twit.tv/MBW. You can also get it on your favorite podcast application. Just subscribe, and that way you'll get it automatically and have it ready for listening on Wednesday morning. Mac Break Weekly. Now I am sad to say it's time for me to say get back to work because break time is over. Bye-bye.